Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
What blizzard? Maybe later. I went out early and got all my supplies. I'll be making cookies. It's windy and there is snow, but it's not so bad, not so bad. Anyway, I'd like to dedicate today's show to showbiz legend Joe Franklin. Oh, what a great guy. Always there, always supported from performers everywhere. He interviewed everybody, including me one time. But he's just such a nice guy, and it's a loss to show business. Every time you saw him, he was always there for you. He'd always have, Joe, you got a joke for me? Yeah, he'd have a joke for you, or he, was an all-around good guy. And I don't know. I'm trying to find an appropriate song to start with for him because he was such a fun guy. Saw him a lot at the Friars Club. And he always had a saying, you know, in my day, and his office was famous for just, you couldn't find anything in there. Anyway, I don't know. I want to pick something appropriate for him. As you know, he interviewed everyone, and I'm going to have some clips on. And why don't we start with a little Bria Skonberg, because Joe never forgot.
Why I was waiting so long, why I was holding on to a distant summer song. For now my thoughts are with some that are very nice indeed, but they don't hold a candle to the thrill that you gave to me. I wish I hadn't forgotten the softness of your touch, those big brown eyes that mesmerize like I've had too much. I can't complain, it's all in vain. The choice was mine, I know, but I just cannot remember why I let you go.
I wish you hadn't forgotten why we were waiting so long, why we were holding on to a distant summer song. For even though the girls I know are ticklish with their charms, I wonder, is there laughter in a world beyond your arms? I wish I hadn't forgotten to just once more remind, life is chance, but circumstance gives beauty unrefined. I could have said what's in my head, the choice was yours, I know, but I just cannot remember why I let you go.
Don't hold a candle to the thrill that you gave to me.
Oh, I wish I hadn't forgotten the softness of your touch, those bright blue eyes that mesmerize like I've had too much.
I can't complain, it's all in vain.
Oh, the choice was yours.
I know, but I just cannot remember why I let you go.
We got Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Addict Headquarters, in the house. And your new weekday show, Chuck Skull, at 11 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio, American Patriot Radio, and network in the Pickle Barrel with Pickled Chuck Golden Age of Radio. all right, I'm going to go with new weekday at 11 a.m., Chuck Skull. Check him out, American Patriot Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Addict Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. And this week she is having, I'm sorry, Betty Jo, I know it's animated, and I got to go to my, I got to work eight things on the big computer do this. Okay, you're going to have Strange Magic with Meredith Ann Bull. She's an actress, voiceover artist, and she's in Strange Magic, playing the part of Dawn. So you want to check out Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Addict Headquarters. That looks like an interesting movie. I wonder if Betty Jo saw it already. Probably. She sees everything. All right, I found a little compilation of our friend Joe Franklin and his historical show that ran forever on Channel 9 in New York City. And he was one of the first ones to really have a local show interviewing so many celebrities. So here's a little compilation I found. On it, he has a lot of characters, so people come on as characters on his show, too, as well as celebrities. Here we go.
In about 1 minute, I'm going to go into the vault. You know, Jack Benny had a vault. Well, I've got a vault, and in my vault, as they say, among my souvenirs, let me tell you that today you're going to see something most incredible.
You are on the air. Hello? Hello? Okay? Okay.
It's a great pleasure for me to be here. Whenever I'm in the Times Square area, I always drop in and see my friend Joe Franklin.
Gentlemen may prefer blondes, but blondes prefer cute, handsome talk show hosts like yourself,
oh,
Joe.
Joe Franklin. Good! Good!
And more importantly, I'd like to thank Joe Franklin for having the taste and the decency to disguise my appearance during this interview. You know, Joe, there's a lot of undesirable elements out there that would rather see yours truly a permanent part of the 96th Street exit of the West Side Highway, if you know what I mean. So I'd like to thank you for disguising my appearance and for putting that black thing over my face. Thank you.
Don't mention it, Yucky. Don't even give it a mention. I'd like to thank my favorite crime czar, and I think just about everybody's personal favorite hoodlum, and all I can say is that I'm honored that you chose my program, Yucky, to be the first program ever appeared on.
Wait a minute, Joe. I saw that. That black thing wasn't over my face. It was over your face. Hey, what are you trying to do to me, Joe? Hey, what are you trying to do? Hey, stop!
What are you doing tonight, Joey?
I'm visiting with one of my very favorite entertainers, one of the all-time greats, and the best friend that a diamond ever had, Miss Carol Channing, and her son, Mr. Carl Channing. Carol, were you ever a stage mother, as the saying goes, or did you ever push your son to be more or less the same thing that you are?
I've always encouraged Carl to be an individual and to always be his own person.
Carl, would you say that your mom is right?
Absolutely right, Joe. You know, if there's one thing my mom always told me is to just be myself. If you've got a dream, just go for it, you know? Isn't that what you told me, Mom?
That's what I told you, son.
Well, that's what I told Joe you told
me. Well, I'm so glad you told Joe what I told you.
Well, good.
In fact, all of our robots, Joe, are programmed with exactly the same traits and characteristics of the superstar that they are impersonating.
The Lysitron, therefore, Dr. Gristle, you're implying, can talk exactly like the real Liza.
Exactly, Joe. All of our robots are programmed with exactly the same vocabulary that the real superstar has. And in the case of our Lysitron here, it was a pretty easy task because the real Liza essentially only has about 17 words in her entire vocabulary, which she keeps repeating over and over and over again.
Thank you. Thank you. Darlings. Darlings. It's truly terrific. Marvelously Marvy. Show business is my life. This one's for Mama.
And that's about it, Joe.
Baby Ruth, may I ask you, how did you happen to become the world's youngest sex therapist?
Well, Joey, ever since I can remember, all I've seen in televisions or on the movies is sex. Sex, sex, sex. It's all that is on people's minds. Sex, 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 sex.
How old are you?
Six. Okay.
I'm over 2,000 years old. You know, if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself.
Do you think that movie making has changed much since those silent film days, Mr. Vasolino?
The Beatles will be around as long as there's a record player and an ear.
Mr. Wingo, you might like to tell us a little bit about this particular bit of pure gold.
Well, Joe, what you've got there is the original version of the first album released by the Beatles here in the States, and that was the way it originally looked before I left the group. And, of course, once I left, they had my picture removed from the cover.
Has the real Liza ever seen her robot counterpart in action, Doctor?
Oh, yes, Joe. In fact, last summer in Atlantic City, the Lysitron robot here filled in for the real Liza in a concert that she was unable to attend, and it was remarkable. Nobody knew the difference. In fact, Peter Allen spent 2 hours in the dressing room trying to make up with our Lysitron. He kept saying, I know this time we could make it work. It was really funny.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't witches a little bit out of vogue? I don't see many witches around nowadays. You know what I'm saying?
Incorruptimundo, Joe. Why, there's plenty of witches all around the place. Why, I run into Joan Collins and Rhoda Barrett all the time.
How about you telling us once and for all, Miss Monroe, the real truth? Do blondes have more fun?
Oh, golly gee, Joe, I don't really know.
You know, Joe, I think blondes do have more fun. At least when they're with me.
Sid Bernstein, the music impresario, claims that he was the first man to bring the Beatles to this country. And many people wonder, is that true that Sid Bernstein brought them first to America?
Yes, Joe, it's absolutely true. Sid Bernstein was the first man to bring the Beatles to America. Of course, he was working as a pilot for TWA at the time.
Rumors always abound, Mr. Wingo, to the effect that the Beatles will someday be back together again. Do you think that could ever come to pass?
Well, Joe, I really can't speak for the other guys, but I guess I can use your show to sort of officially announce this, but sometime early next year, I will be getting back together.
And, of course, our Lysitron comes fully equipped with a total array of celebrity impersonations. Well, for example,
Here's looking at you, kid.
You dirty rat.
Yeah, all right, you guys. Yeah. You look marvelous. The combination of these carefully measured amounts of shredded wheat, granola bars, and polyester socks that gives us the equation known as the theory of relativity. It's really as simple as that, Joe.
The only theory of relativity that I sort of comprehend is don't hire your nephew.
You better laugh, or I'll get you, my pretties, and you little dogs, too.
They say I'm crazy, I'm a schmo. You dumb little sonny, but that's the way it goes.
Sweet
life.
Stop spreading. Stop spreading. Stop spreading.
Hold it, Joe. There's something wrong
Stop
here.
Stop spreading.
We just see,
Stop
I neglected
spreading.
To tell you, Joe, we've had a little problem
Stop
with this model here. It
this
just seems to keep
mama.
Breaking down all the time, and
Stop
every
spreading.
6 months or so, it's got to go back to the
Stop
shop.
Where might our audience see Attila the Hun these days and these
Joe,
nights?
Joe, this coming Labor Day, I will be at the Concord Hotel with the marvelous Regis Philbin. What a fabulous performer. You've never seen his act, have you, Joe? He is out of this world, and then, of course, they'll be doing a new TV movie, which is a sequel to my life story. My first one was called Hun. The sequel is called Son of Hun.
Promise you'll come back and visit with us and co-host with us again one day very, very soon, okay?
Okay, John!
Promise me, you promise the audience out there, you'll come back one day to chat with me again soon, soon, soon. Promise me, maybe you'll come back and visit me again very, very soon.
Okay, Joe.
What do you say we, shake on that?
Okay.
Wait, let's shake on that. Oh.
You've gotta listen to my
that was Rena Strober. All righty, check in the chat room. Kat Vecchione, World Talk Rock. I believe that's, I'm going to say Fridays at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, Kat. World Talk Rock, just follow them on Facebook, then you'll always know Chuck Skull, 11 a.m. Monday through Fridays now. So you're going to have to leave me, Chuck, aren't you, to go do your show now? All right. And Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. And this Tuesday she'll be having Strange Magic with Meredith Ann Bull. Oh, yeah, that's the new animated film coming out. The cast also includes Alan Cumming, Kristen Chenoweth, and Maya Rudolph. You want to check that out tomorrow at 4 p.m. World Talk Rock, Saturday night at 8 p.m. with the one and only Kat Vecchione. All right, some plugs, my friend, and I found some more. Joe Franklin, because the show today is dedicated to Joe Franklin, and here's an interview he did with, you'll like this, Betty Jo? Bing. Bubba.
Serving New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. You're watching Channel 9, WWOR-TV. The following is one of the best of the Joe Franklin shows, which was recorded earlier this year.
Good morning. Something really different today and very exciting for me. A special presentation prepared a short while ago and soon to be a weekly series on your television screen. A preview of Joe Franklin's Hollywood Memories. Enjoy. Okay, my friend, starting off the festivities or the jestivities will be my idol, Bing Crosby, the old groaner when he was the young groaner. Maybe about a half century ago. And this is what I mean. Let's watch.
Here in your arms, I can't remain. Oh, let me kiss you once again. Soon we must say, auf Wiedersehen. Auf Wiedersehen, my dear. Your love will cling to me through the lonely daytime. Each night will bring to me the magic memory of Maytime. I know my heart won't beat again until the day we meet again. Auf Wiedersehen, my dear.
Well, that was the king of sing almost a half century ago, and let me tell you something, that his autobiography, Bing's autobiography, was called Call Me Lucky, but if anybody was lucky, it was me, because I was one of the last to chat with the great man on TV. There are no words. It had to be and will forever remain one of the milestones, if not the milestone, of my career. Not only in the golden dozen, but in the golden two or three, in my recollection, in my reminiscence, had to be my interview with the master, Bing Crosby. I was on a memory lane cruise. I took some old-timers on a cruise, and I got to give you one name. He's no longer with us, sadly, but he always spoke about you and the Hotel Belvedere.
Yeah.
Sid Gary.
Sid Gary, the master of the double talk. Did you know him?
He was he was one of my closest friends.
You know, he was really the fellow that started double talk.
Before.
And he was the best.
Right.
The greatest, because he had a real professorial appearance. He dressed very, looked like he's going down to Wall Street or somewhere.
Right.
And he'd get a total stranger, like there used to be a house detective at the Belvedere Hotel. He was an Irishman, wore a green derby. That'll give you an idea. And he was a real stolid sort of an Irishman. And Sid Gary, anytime we come in from a cafe or a restaurant late at night, he'd get this guy and give him about a 15-minute routine of double talk, and the guy didn't understand a word of it, but he'd just keep yesing Sid. Yes, Mr. Gary. And Sid would say, you know, on the prowling time, there's a Gaderim side there. And you get the prowling, and the reason against the prowling side, the guy's mm-hmm. And Sid was a great singer. Did you know that?
He was a good singer. He had his
big voice. Big, strong. He'd do the Road to Mandalay and those big, epic kind of songs.
He was a baritone.
Brother, Spare Me a Dime. Right. Did you ever hear him sing that?
Sure. Bing, there was once a battle of the baritones on the radio. You opposite Russ Colombo.
Yeah. Now, and Valley was in there somewhere, wasn't
Valley,
he?
Valley. Well, there was
I think he ran third.
There was a big song, Crosby.
But it was a photo between Russ and I.
Just a wild hypothetical thought.
Yeah, just a pseudo had, feud that they cooked.
Had Russ Colombo lived, yeah. Had he lived, would he have been as popular?
Great star. I tell you, he was a handsome guy.
Right.
And he had a warm, ingratiating personality, and he could sing, and he was a good musician. He played wonderful violin, you know.
Right.
And I think if he'd have lived, he'd have been a big romantic star. The time I knew him the best, we worked together in a band at the Coconut Grove in Los Angeles, a Gus Arnheim band. And we sang some duets. We sang in quintets with the Rhythm Boys. And we were great pals. And he was going with Carol Lombard. You remember her?
Of course.
Beautiful woman and great personality. And she was crazy about him. They would have been married, I'm sure, if he hadn't been killed.
Sad, mysterious death.
Well, it was. I know the facts, and they're probably a little gruesome. We wouldn't want to repeat them here. But his mother, it was an Italian family, and he had three older brothers. And she had a serious heart condition, and they never told her that he'd been killed. They just wrote letters from London. They had London mail sent from Italy and said he was on tour.
Right.
And she died a year and a half later without ever knowing that he'd been killed, because they were sure if she had been told, she'd have died immediately. But she lived on maybe 18, 20 months before they knew they didn't have to consider the deception continued any longer.
My guest is that was a sad story. My guest, ladies and gentlemen, is the man who has sold more records than anybody else, more hit movies.
That may be a fiction about the records, Joe. You can't.
You think the Beatles? Beatles came close?
I think they must sell more. Yeah. When you think of these days, there's so many more record buyers. So many more people have playback machines and all those stereo sets. In those days, gee, if you got a record to sell 100,000, you were having a big sale way back there. You know. So I don't see how that could be true. But the figures are put out by the record companies. I'll have to check that over and see if I got paid on all those royalties.
Yeah.
Hard to believe if they sold 400 million records. I didn't get that much money, Joe.
Being the...
But I'm glad to get anything, you know.
You did fair. You did fair. The fellows who impersonated you in vaudeville, including Sid Gary, and when they would do that boo-boo-boo-boo,
yeah.
I used to wonder, did you ever really... Like they say, like Cary Grant never said Judy, Judy, Judy.
Yeah.
And Betty Davis never said this. And Humphrey Bogart never said, all right, Louis, drop the gun. People have asked me, because I'm supposed to be somewhat an authority, did Bing Crosby ever really go boo, 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 boo when he sang?
Yes, there's a couple of records, I think, in Learn to Croon from a picture called College Humor.
Was that on purpose or because...
No, it was considered very classy. Then, you know, from boo, 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 they went to Vododio and then Heidi-ho and then Ha-cha-cha. And then, hey, hey. But now, these scat singers now, Joe, are fantastic. You take Ella Fitzgerald, Mel Torme, Cleo Lane. They take a scat chorus now. It's light years ahead of anything I ever did, because I just boo-boo-booed when I couldn't remember the words, you know?
But did you ever turn down, did you ever reject, let's say, ever turn down a song or a movie or any project that, not that you regretted it later on, but something that you could have had, but it turned out...
I can think of a song that's pertinent. I did a picture called She Loves Me Not.
Right.
And we had a song in there called Love and Boom, and I didn't like it.
Didn't like it.
I sang it in the picture, but I just kind of did a record and threw it away, and it wound up Jack Benny's theme song. Now nobody connects me with the song at all, and it's become his, or was his, you know.
I got to give you his album later on today. He's your number one fan after me. Steve Mason, who puts out these albums of Crosby.
And Crosby and Columbo. Let's see what he sings. Ramona, I hear the mission bells above.
Continue.
I could tell the world how to smile. I could be lonely if I had you. Call me darling. Call me darling, call me that. You came to me from out of nowhere. When April showers, when bing, bing, feet, out of... First you put your two knees close up tight, and then you wiggle to the left, and then you wiggle to the right. Where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day. Well, how did this get in here? A good man is hard to find.
Yeah.
A good man is hard to find. You often get the other kind. And just when you think that your man is great, you find that he's a think, and then you haul your freight.
You made that up.
I threw in that line, yeah.
Find that he's a think,
one
and
more
then you haul
chance to prove it's you alone that I care for. It was a lucky April shower. It was the most convenient door. I found $1 million baby in a 5 and 10 cent store. Now, this is Russ's song. I can't believe it. Now, you call it madness. And I call it love. I don't remember the first part of it. Then this was Alice Faye's great song. I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why, but I do. Great song.
This, I cannot...
put some of those back in the medley.
That pairing of you and Hope, and, of course, Dorothy L'Amour made it a trio.
Yeah.
How did that start?
Hope had his own radio show, and I did, and he started... We were old pals from the Friars Club, and we played the Capitol Theater together, and I knew him very well. He started kidding me about my... I was a little ample in the waist in those days, and he called me a pot... You know, how did you... The only pot I ever saw had didn't have a rainbow over it, stuff like that.
Right.
And then I'd kid him about his nose and about his bad jokes, and it got to be sort of a pseudo-feud, you know, like Winchell had with Bernie.
Ben Bernie.
And then there was a feud, Fred Allen and...
Jack Benny. Make-believe.
Make-believe. Yeah, they were bosom pals, and so were Bob and I. And the feud developed and got funny. And then I was on his show, and we'd do the same humor, and he's on mine, the same thing. And then finally, somebody at the studio, I think it was Buddy De Silva, who was the head of Paramount then.
Right.
He said, why don't we put these two guys together? And they got Frank Hartman and Don Hartman and Frank Butler to write the first one was Road to Singapore.
They figured they'd try it once.
That's right. It looked like a one-time shot. And we had lived a lot, and we had directors who were very tolerant, Dave Butler and guys like that, Victor Schertzinger, just let us do anything we wanted. And the writers used to come on the set, and we'd say, if you hear a line that's yours, holler bingo, and then we'd go right back to work again.
That was a lucrative celluloid road.
Very good. I think we made seven or eight of them.
Could there be a road to yesteryear or a road to nostalgia?
What are we talking about? One road to tomorrow. But, you know, Joe, two old gaffers like us, we can't chase the chicks anymore.
No, too old.
We can't have a rivalry over the leading lady.
I mean,
nobody believe it.
You're too young.
And the chicks would get away. We wouldn't be able to catch them anyhow.
Bing told me something during our interview that I never knew. He told me that his mother, his beloved mom, never called him Bing. Didn't even like the sound of that nickname, Bing. She only addressed him by his given name of Harry. And when you think about Bing Crosby, how can you not think about his buddy, his road to everywhere pal, Bob Hope? One of my favorite Bob Hope lines that Bob delivered on my program was when he said, Bing Crosby never pays income taxes. He just calls up the Treasury and asks them casually, how much money do you need today? I'll be right back with more good friends. Stay with me because I'm just getting warmed up and I'm having a good time.
Ah, that was nice, wasn't it? Little tribute to Joe Franklin, all the great shows he had in New York City. Really terrific. I think Apple Sisters should come in about now.
Hello, handsome, how do you do? Hello, handsome, what a brew. Hello, handsome, care to bowl with a handsome coffee roaster. If you need a cup today of the best looking brew, got some hot and dapper Java just for you. The most attractive coffee you've ever seen. It's the handsome roaster.
Hello, Apple Sisters!
Hello, handsome. Say, how do you get that coffee to be so handsome?
Yeah, it must be real difficult and complicated.
It's just three easy steps.
Step one, go from
the town. Dee Dee, we start with science to make our coffee so darn handsome.
Wowee, science?
Every unattractive bean goes through our vintage, fully restored and customized Probot UG22 coffee roaster and comes out handsome.
Ooh.
Careful, it's science.
Science was tricky.
Step two, perky, perky, percolator.
Say, how do you get the handsome from the bean?
Our world champion barista wrangles the handsomeness right out of the bean.
Wow, that's one hot brew. Want a wrangle made too?
Finally, the most important part. Serve us with a smile and slurp up the handsome.
Mmm. Heavenly. It's the second coming of coffee. Wow, this coffee's so handsome, even I'm attracted to it.
Mmm. Is it me or the coffee that's so hot?
It's definitely the coffee.
Ah, nuts.
No, beans.
I love flicking beans.
Every cup starts right here in glamorous, sunny Los Angeles, Hollywoodland, California. Handsome coffee. They've got beans and brawn. Aw, heck, let's just sing about it.
Put some hot, handsome coffee to your lips. Get better looking with every sip. Try the most attractive coffee we've ever seen. It's the handsome roasted coffee bean.
It's the handsome roasted coffee bean. Hello, handsome.
Handsome coffee. Coffee made handsome. Warning, may cause sudden effects of handsomeness and good-lookingness.
That was the Apple Sisters. Hey, cyanide's in the house. Marco Polo. Oh, that sounds interesting. Betty Jo Tucker will be at headquarters tomorrow at 4 p.m. Strange Magic will be what the topic, and she'll be interviewing one of the voices. So you want to check that out. How was the movie? Is it two thumbs up, Betty Jo? Let us know. Should we go check it out? Because we got to be in the know about things. We want to be an intelligent audience, after all.
Atoms. An atom is the smallest part of an element. Everything in the universe is made up of tiny particles called atoms.
Guess what? I've got in my pocket.
Let's see.
Guess what? I've got in my hand.
Let me
guess what I've got on the tip of my tongue. Here's a hint. Guess as small as you can. If you don't know the answer,
I give up.
Don't fret.
Sweat.
Don't rack your brain.
Ow.
Simply reply.
Billions of atoms.
Thank you.
went away there. What happened? Sorry about that, folks. Well, it's the end of the show. Anyway, the show's been dedicated to Joe Franklin, wonderful person, and just a great showbiz legend. Everyone look him up, and you'll see more. You will be missed, Joe. You will be missed. And, gosh, I want to thank Betty Jo Tucker for tuning in, and Kat Vecchione, Rock World, World Talk Rock, 8 p.m. Saturdays, and Chuck Skull, I think, who's switched over now to his show. So, when you're smiling, the show dedicated to Joe Franklin, who made many a person smile, is always ready to crack a joke. Okay. And also, we dedicate to Joe with a special shout out to any of my friends listening. And I've got a friend here, like Jack Hoffman, if he's listening. He might be listening in archives. Hi, Jack. And my friend Rosa Rolden, if she's listening. Kathleen Tyler Conklin, if you're listening. Jim Romero, if you're listening. Jamie Scandal, if you're listening. Anyone else who's listening, thank you for listening. And next time, join the chat room, and I'll promote whatever you need promoted there. Don't forget, tomorrow, Betty Jo Tucker. Movie Attic Headquarters. Don't want to miss that. Okay, it's going to be Strange Magic with Meredith and Bull. One of the many, many celebrity voices in Strange Magic. 4 p.m. Blog Talk Radio, Chuck Skull. Now it's Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You want to check that out. We've got a new name for this show. We've got to keep up with you guys. You can't keep changing shows. I keep mine. Help me out here. Where is this show? Oh, here it is. American Patriot Radio with Chuck Skull. Over there. So check that out. As well as his Saturday morning shows, Golden Age Radio. You want to check that out, too. And remember to always be smiling. Good for you. Keep you healthy and happy and wise. The sun comes a-shining through, and open your Brian, yeah, bring on the rain. Oh, stop that sighing, you there, cyanide at work. Marco Polo, you, way over in Amsterdam somewhere. Anyway, keep smiling, everyone. Boom. Thank you for joining us. And remember, my CDs are all available on CD Baby. Thank you. This is Nancy Lombardo, your host of Comedy Concepts Blog Talk Radio. Remember to support the arts by supporting the arts. That is really the best way, isn't it?
Yeah!
That's all, folks.